Hi there, this is Missy. You can find me on Instagram at @the_spoonigan. You're listening to episode 167 of the Subi and You podcast.
So that is the little intro from Missy, but there's actually not going to be a podcast today because I just didn't feel like putting one out. You know, I got kind of lazy and I recorded with Missy, of course, but I just didn't feel like putting one out today. But of course, since it's April Fool's, you know, of course there's a podcast. Come on. I'm not going to not put a podcast out just because it's April Fool's. There's a podcast today. I have Missy on the podcast today. She was the first person that I rode with at 48 hours of Tri-State. And I was glad to get her on the podcast because we'd actually been talking for a while before 48 hours of Tri-State. So it was great to meet her out there at 48 hours of Tri-State. And I'm thankful that she allowed me to drive her BRZ. It was just around the parking lot of the hotel, but it was nice to get that experience, to get the feel for it. And I would like to drive one further if I can at some point. So thank you so much, Missy, for that. And it was great, again, riding with her in the BRZ and getting the experience of that first segment of leaving New Jersey to head out to Subaru of Indiana. But we will hear all about her story here in just a bit and that conversation that I had with her.
The Subi and You podcast is brought to you by Eccentric Designs. For those of you who don't know, Eccentric Designs is a small, community-driven business that offers custom-fit vinyl overlays for most Subaru models. This includes various designs for the rear reflectors, taillights, and side taillights. I also offer fun decal designs like the popular fender stripes and stickers. To find designs for your Subi, head on over to eccentricdesigns.com. There's always more projects in the works, so be sure to follow at eccentric.designs on Instagram.
Thank you so much, Eccentric Designs, for sponsoring this Subi and You podcast. Very, very much appreciated and glad to be partnering with you. I have another patron question of the week, and this one comes from Gail, who goes by NorwegianGirl21. She asks, showers or baths? Always showers. Not that I wouldn't take a bath, but I don't know. Showers are easy and convenient, and I like to have a constant flow of warm water. And because I know I've, you know, when I was younger, I would take a bath and the water would eventually get cold and I didn't like that. So I've always liked showers. But I mean, I guess there's a place and a time for a good bath. I just haven't had one in a while. So I don't know. Maybe it's time to take a bath at some point. But thank you so much for your question, Gail. This episode is brought to you by SubaruGear.com. If you go to the website, there's a button that says New. And if you click on that button, you can shop new Subaru apparel and gear. Who doesn't love new gear? Shop the latest Subaru gear and apparel and be the trendsetter for all enthusiasts. Scrolling through the page, you will find hats, plenty of t-shirts and hoodies, lots of drinkware, and many other great Subaru and Subaru Motorsports USA branded items. So go check out the new section of SubaruGear.com and be sure to use the code SUBIANDU24 at checkout to get 20% off of your purchase. And if your purchase amount is greater than $50 after the 20% discount, you will also get free shipping. So thank you so much, SubaruGear.com, for sponsoring the Subi and You podcast. And thank you so much for bringing this great offer to the listeners of the Subi and You podcast. This podcast has been going on for over 3 years now. And so we're into the fourth year of the podcast. We're at episode 167. With quite a few bonus episodes in there. And yeah, it's been great. It's been a great journey. And for all of you who are still listening, thank you very much. Thank you for sticking around. And for those of you that have been listening from the very beginning that still listen to every episode, I appreciate you very, very much. So thank you all for sticking around and continuing to tune in to each episode. I really, really appreciate it. And so do the guests, because it's their story, it's their journey, it's their episode. And I'm just the facilitator of getting that information out. So you're not really listening to me so much. You're listening and supporting the other people in the community as well. So don't forget about that part of it, that you're helping to support their story and their journey and supporting their opportunity to be on the podcast and share with all of you. So be sure to acknowledge and recognize each of the guests that have been on. And thank you to all of my guests who have taken the time to be on the podcast. This episode is brought to you by Ryko Wheels. And today is the last day to take advantage of their tax refund sale. So today through 11:59 p.m., you can use the code TAX2024 at checkout to get 20% off all web orders plus free shipping within the continental United States, which it excludes Hawaii and Alaska. But you can get 20% off plus free shipping, and that is a really great deal. So visit RykoWheels.com to save today and order before 11:59 p.m. to get the set of wheels that you've been looking for, or that lift kit, or both. So thank you so much, Ryko, for sponsoring the Sue Being You podcast also. And thank you for extending this offer to the Sue Be community. This episode is also brought to you by Melee Design Firm, where they believe making the best performance parts from the highest quality materials is the only way to operate. Melee is offering 5% off select rally spec products such as the Group 35 battery mount for the Crosstrek and other Subaru products such as the front strut tower brace and engine bay caps. Speaking of the engine bay caps, they are offered in 9 different colors. So you've got plenty to choose from when you want to add some style and design and color to your engine bay. To receive the 5% off, use this code SUBEPLUSU at checkout. So the little plus symbol is what you will use. So head on over to MeleeDesignFirm.com and check out the Rally Spec and Subaru sections of the website. Thank you so much, Melee Design Firm, for sponsoring the Sue Be and You podcast. And now we will get into this conversation with Missy, aka The Spoonigan, and hear about her Subaru journey. So here we go. All right, now we can get started.
Okay.
But I have to ask the first question, which is the most important question of all of them, and whether you prefer waffles or pancakes.
I'm sad to say that I am team waffles.
Oh, come on.
Specifically the thin, crispy pecan waffles from a certain little tiny 24-hour breakfast place, and I like mine with chocolate chips added also.
See, if I would have known you were a waffle person, I wouldn't have agreed to ride with you at 48 hours of Tri-State. I'm kidding.
But you didn't ask.
Yeah, that's true.
And actually, I did agonize over that for probably about an hour, and I thought, I'm so particular about pancakes, and I've really never had good pancakes out. So, yeah, I'm sorry, waffles.
That's okay, because, I mean, at least I like waffles. If I didn't like waffles, then I might have a problem with that answer.
Yeah, and then just hit leave, and that would be the end of it. Be the shortest in history.
Yeah. Well, okay, so getting to your Subaru or Subarus, because I know that you not only have the BRZ, but you also have a Sambar now. But with your BRZ, is that your first Subaru?
It is not my first Subaru. It is my second Subaru. My first Subaru was a 1996 Subaru Legacy wagon. I think the name of the color is Alpine Green.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just very, very basic, but it was super dependable. And eventually I think the head gaskets went. It had like 240 some odd thousand miles.
That's pretty
good. We got that fixed. It was the first car for my older bonus son and my two younger biological sons. So
okay, nice.
They were introduced to Subarus at a rather young age, and they now both own Subarus.
Well, that's good. That's the way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, introduce them with one car and then they continue on with their own.
Yep.
So how did you get into owning that Subaru? Like, had you wanted a Subaru, or was it just like you were looking for a car and you happened to come across that one? And did you know about Subarus? What's the story with that first one?
Oh, the first one was given to me. It was my mother's car. And I had I think it was the Dodge Stratus. And I don't even remember what was wrong with it, but it was horribly expensive, like in the thousands of dollars to fix. And she said, you know, I just really don't need this car. So you can just, here, I'll write you a bill of sale for $100 and you can just go get the title put in your name. And so, yeah.
Well, that was nice.
So I kind of lucked into it. And that was very, very, very nice of her, because that was probably one of the best things that I could have done about a car. Because at the time, I was not in a position to go and finance anything. That was good. I appreciated that very much. And it's led to all this. So,
yeah. You know, so
things long time ago, and you just don't ever realize where you're going to end up.
Yeah. So driving that car, and how long did you, how many years did you end up driving it?
Let's see. Probably 4 or 5 at least.
Okay. And then were you just sold on Subaru then?
I liked Subarus. I wasn't as attached to them as I am now. Because between that Subaru and my BRZ, I had a Dodge Ram pickup and a Durango and a Chevy Trax.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah. But then you came back to the good side, to the good cars.
Yes. Yes. And that's my middle son's fault. It's completely his fault that I have a BRZ.
Because he has one also, right?
I blame him. He does. He has a 2017 Series Yellow, and I test drove it around the parking lot for maybe, I don't know, less than 5 minutes, and got out and said, yeah, I'm going to have one of these.
How long ago was that you drove his?
2019, and it took me 3 years to be able to pull the trigger and say, yes, I'm ready to go buy one now. So, but it worked out because I got to order mine from the factory, and I have since found out that, yeah, they do know that they're building them for somebody that ordered it and not just to send somewhere to sell. So somewhere in a factory in Japan in October of 2022, they were building my car, and they knew they were building. That's silly, I know, but.
No, not silly at all.
You know.
Yeah, it's, it's nice that you were able to order it like that and then, you know, get it finally and get into the BRZ after having driven your sons. And now here you are.
Yep, here I am.
So and it's a 23, correct? Yours?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. So is the Spoonigan the name of your BRZ, or is that just the name of your Instagram account?
No, that's just my Instagram account. And there's a whole story behind that. Before the 2023 48 Hours of Tri-State event, my Instagram account used to be my government name. And I thought, I really just, you know, I didn't want to be, I wanted to make Instagram friends, but I didn't want to be writing my name down.
Yeah.
So I thought, I've got to think of something that's more car related and more unique and more memorable. And it was right after Ken Block had passed. May he rest in peace.
Yes.
And I am a huge, huge fan of the entire Block family. And I thought, I can't do Hoonigan because I just, you know, I could never, I could never do justice to that.
Yeah.
One of the nicknames for a cook in the Army is a spoon. And I cook in a unorthodox and unconventional manner. And so Spoonigan.
Yeah, that's good. It's fitting and memorable, like you said.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah. And so what is the name of your BRZ then? Or do you have a name for it?
I do. She does have a name. Her name is Sokudo-san, which means Honorable Lady Speed. She is not, but she looks fast.
Well, I mentioned it whenever we were driving in your BRZ that your BRZ is definitely faster than my Crosstrek. So to me, it would be fast.
Well, yeah, but it's not, it isn't fast compared to like my youngest son's WRX is, his is fast.
Yeah.
And but that's, not, okay. But that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun. It was definitely fun. I mean, I didn't drive it for very long, but it was, I could see where if I could get it out, like, you know, more of an open road and not just a parking lot, that it could be a lot of fun to drive.
Yeah. And it really, it's not so much about the speed. It's about the handling.
Yes.
Because there are, have been so many times when I have had to suddenly avoid something in the road. And that car is, you point the steering and it goes exactly where you want it to go. No hesitation. And it comes right back.
That's good.
The handling is absolutely unbelievable.
That's nice. Yeah, I would love to drive one a little bit more. Maybe when I go to a dealership or something, I could be like, hey, do you have a BRZ? I can just go out and drive around for a little bit. That would be fun.
Yeah, and you can tell them, I've driven one before.
Yeah, that's right. Be like, I'm not unfamiliar with a BRZ, so it'll be okay.
And you actually know where reverse is now.
Yes, I do. I know. That was interesting.
Yeah, because I completely forgot that I might need to tell you that because my shift knob doesn't have anything on it.
Yeah, neither does mine. But mine is, you know, over and to the right. And yours was not. I was like, I was putting it in sixth gear. And I'm like, where is reverse on this thing?
Yeah, because when I ordered my shift knob, I thought, do I really need the shift pattern on there? I know where all the gears are. Well, I guess if somebody else is going to drive my car, they can ask if they think they're going to have to back up.
Which is what I had to do. I rolled the window down. I'm like, hey, where's reverse on this thing? How do I get out of, I need to go backwards.
Yep. That was a highlight of the trip. Definitely.
That was fun. It was fun though. So something else that's not too, too outdated, but you are part of the MaxTrax micro crew. So how did you find out about that? And what number or what member number are you?
I found out about them on Instagram and I thought, oh, that's kind of pretty cool. And that goes along with my being weird and funny and in touch with my inner child. And I kind of scrolled back through the pages post. I thought, oh, there's like actual like normal cars. You don't have to be like a big lifted four-wheel drive off-road type vehicle. So I sent Phil a picture, and after I had got my little MaxTrax micro boards, and I am member number 382, and the sandbar is member number 382 and a half.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
So, and I got my member number the day of or the day before his episode went live. So I am the first BRZ, and I think I might still be the only BRZ so far.
Nice. Only
but,
sandbar?
But hopefully, because I'm going to, I don't know. I haven't scrolled back through the post to see if there's any more K-trucks of any variety, but I might be the first and only Sambar also.
Hey, and that's
cool.
Which
would be okay.
Yeah. Very unique. Yeah. You bring something different to the game.
Yeah, I do.
Have you had to use your micro tracks yet? Have you come across any big cracks in the road?
I've been prepared because there's a spot in my yard. I don't have a real driveway, and I don't have a paved or gravel parking spot. I just park in my grass, and there's a spot in my yard that gets a puddle every time it rains. And I keep thinking I really need to go out there and make an Instagram reel about using my Max Tracks and driving through this puddle. And then I always forget and I have to go to work or whatever. So I might do that on purpose soon.
Just go get a bucket of water and pour it in there or something.
Yeah.
They're fun. I mean, you listen to his episode and he said something completely stupid just turned into this big thing, you know, that was supposed to be a joke. And now here we are over 400 members. He wasn't at 400 yet when I had him on the podcast, but now it's like you just keep seeing them pop up more and more.
Yes. And more Subarus.
Yes. And that's the exciting part.
Right after his episode aired, it was like the first 10 or 20 that were all Subarus of some variety. And I was like, this is so great.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's like, it's nice to see more and more Subarus. It's like, oh, there it is, another Subaru. We can deal with that.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you, Phil, for bringing MaxTrax Micro Crew to the world.
Yes.
So I know you drove quite a bit for 48 hours of Tri-State this year, and I know you didn't do the entire trip with everybody, but... is that the furthest distance you've driven in your BRZ?
Yes. And actually, that was my first big road trip. And I'm very surprised at how comfortable that car is on trips. I'm used to driving 2 or 3 hours and I have to get out and everything's all creaky and I feel like I'm cramped up. And it's just an amazing car.
Yeah. And I mean, I obviously wasn't driving it, but in the passenger seat, I don't remember being uncomfortable in it. I mean, it was different for me being like kind of, held into the seat more than like my car. And, you know, it was like a little smaller, but I mean, I wasn't uncomfortable.
Right. I do like the bucketness of the seats rather than a truck style, more benchy seat. I like feeling cradled.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for. Cradled. Thank you. I felt more, I mean, like,
you're welcome.
Yeah.
Cause anytime.
I mean, with my car, it's not like that, but your car, because of the style and it's designed to be more of like a race type style of seating and just cockpit and everything, and so that's what it felt like, and it was nice.
Well, thanks. I'm glad you were comfortable over there.
You're welcome. I was. Do you have any other road trips planned with your BRZ?
Not at the present time. I would like to go to Boxerfest, but I'm not sure. I don't know whether I'm going to be able to work that out or not. Mainly because I'm going to be in our busy season at work.
How far is Boxerfest?
It's like, I think it's like 10 hours, which is not bad. When I left Indianapolis to come back after the first half of the 48 hours trip, I came through West Virginia and because I had my daughter with me, and then I had to meet my husband and she went with him to where they live, and then I continued back on to North Carolina. I did that in one day, and that was like 16 hours, and I didn't die.
Well, that's good. You're here on the podcast, obviously.
Yeah. My original plan was I was going to stop in Mount Airy and shop for a mini truck, but the weather forecast was like they were expecting an ice storm or something, and I thought, I think I'm just going to go home, and I'll do this all online and by phone.
Yeah.
So, I did all good that plan. Shopping on the phone and on the internet.
So how many miles do you have on your BRZ now?
36,000.
How long have you had
it? And I've had it. I picked it up December 5th, 2022.
Okay, that's pretty good. I mean,
well, I do have a decent commute to work, and it is my daily, so.
Yeah. I mean, I have 99,000 miles on mine, and I've only had it for a little over 3 years, or right at, I think a little over 3 years, like 3.5 maybe. And it's, but I drive a lot. It is my only car, too. And I was driving my son back and forth to school a lot, and I drove to Colorado, drove to Arkansas several times, drove up to Madison, Wisconsin, Dallas a bunch of times, and just all around Houston. I drive a lot. But it's fun. It's what it's for.
Yeah, yeah.
I was looking at your Instagram page, and I saw one photo with a set of wheels, one set of wheels, and another photo with a different set of wheels. Do you have, like, two sets of wheels that you rotate through, or did you start off with a set and then you got another set? What's going on there, Missy?
Okay. I had 6 months between the time that I ordered the car and when I picked it up to plan all of my mods. And the original plan was I was going to buy the silver set of wheels, and then I was just going to run the stock wheels with snow tires in the winter on the 48 hours trips. And if I had to go to West Virginia in the winter or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it was, I don't know, maybe the end of October last year. And Method was having a sale. And they make the MR502s to fit my car. And they're so pretty.
They were just calling your name.
Titanium would look so sick on my car. So those are my winter setup. So I actually have three sets of wheels and tires. I have the stocks with the what came on the car, which are
all season
something or other. Yeah. No, actually they're summer tires. And then I have the Cosmis XT206Rs with Nokian One all seasons, because where I live, we have a tendency to have days where the temperature fluctuates. It can be in the 40s in the morning, and then it can be 80 degrees by the afternoon. And summer tires just don't do well under 50 degrees at all.
Gotcha.
And because I have such a commute, and there I drive past places where like an otter could run out in the road, a bear, a deer, raccoons, possums, large birds. I'm not going to talk about that. We won't discuss
all
that.
All kinds of wildlife.
Yeah. So I have to have a tire that I'm confident is going to keep me on the road and not make me end up in the ditch.
Yeah, that's important.
Because that's my baby.
Yeah.
So, and they're, I don't even remember what the snow tires are. I just told the shop that does they do my oil changes, and I'm like, oh, by the way, you guys are going to get a set of wheels, and you're going to have to order tires. And I tell them what I want, and they order them and mount them, and then they stick them on the car. And I'm like, okay, these are fine. So,
Thank you.
I don't even remember what the snow tires are, but they're nice. They did very well. So I'm happy.
Yeah. I mean, that's good. I know it's funny because I know I've talked to people that live in much colder climates, and they're like, oh, it's time to put my snow tires on. And then they're like, the end of the winter season, it's time to put my other tires back on. It's like, here in Houston, we just run the same tires all year long. We don't have to change them out.
Yeah. If I do not have to go anywhere, like if I didn't have to go past, say, Raleigh, North Carolina, I could run the Cosmis 12 months out of the year on those all seasons, and I'd be just fine.
But yeah, the winter tires definitely come in handy when you have winter conditions. That's why they make winter tires,
yes.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, and if I have to go somewhere where there's going to be a possibility of winter conditions, I want to be prepared.
Yeah.
because all season tires are not winter tires at all.
So what else have you done to your BRZ? Because I know you've got three sets of wheels, one of them being the OEM, and then you've got some decals as well. But what else have you done to your BRZ?
Exhaust. And that really is the only like other mod, I guess. Well, I changed the shift knob and the e-brake handle and the drift button, but I have the Borla S-Type cat-back exhaust that was designed for the second gen BRZ and 8.6. And that was another thing that I researched, and I imagine that I probably spent about 30 hours listening to YouTube videos of different exhausts, trying to decide what to buy. And I decided on that one, and it's perfect. It's exactly the sound that I wanted for my car.
Yeah, it does sound really good. And it, you hear these cars that have like a very tin canny sound, and it just does not sound good. And your car has like a very nice rumble to it, and it sounds like exactly what your car needs. So good job.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I want it deep and throaty. Once it's warmed up, it's very quiet and it's loud without being obnoxious, and it doesn't scream at you. There's no drone inside, and it isn't raspy. And my sons like it too. So
yeah, and you got to.
Which is important. Oh yeah. You got to please the family.
Yeah, and you got to hear it when I drove it around.
Yeah, which I don't get to do. I mean, that's the first time I'd ever heard it standing right next to the car, because the only other times I've heard it is when the guy that does the oil changes at the shop where I go backs it out of the service bay, and I'm inside paying, so I don't really, you know.
Yeah, so you had a good experience. That's good.
Yeah, I did.
All right. So do you have any plans for any other mods, or are you just kind of satisfied with where you're at now?
I'm happy. Eventually, I might get lowering springs. And if, in the unlikely event, I ever decide to change delivery, I would get aero. I would get a lip and side skirts and a rear splitter and the biggest, most obnoxious wing I could possibly purchase. And I would have the wildest. I always joke around and say, have you ever seen that Japanese woodcut, The Great Wave?
I have not.
It's, if you Google it, I'm sure it would be like the first image that comes up. But I would love to have my car wrapped in that art print and just have all of this JDM stuff.
Yeah, I see it now.
and just really be, you know, the whole, not a huge chin spoiler or like big, huge exhaust tips or anything like that, but just the whole like a Kaido racer aesthetic, and just be really over the top, and then go to Walmart and get out, and I'll be this, you know, the age that I am, which is not 25.
Driving this seemingly younger person looking car.
Exactly. This extremely modified little Japanese sports car.
Yeah. You're having fun with it though.
I am. It's immensely fun.
Yeah. That's definitely the point of getting some of these cars. You know, sometimes there's a lot of people that buy these cars and other cars too, but I mean, especially people that I've had on the podcast where they buy a Subaru with having no knowledge of mods, having no knowledge of the community, and somehow or other they find out about it. And then next thing you know, their car is very, very far from stock, and they're very happy and pleased with the journey. And usually, even if it looks outlandish and just with all kinds of stuff, that's, they're not, still not done. But, you know, it's all about just building it up the way that you want to build it and having fun with it and getting out and enjoying it. And that's the whole purpose of it all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I can honestly say that I don't think that there is any Subaru of any model Subaru that I've seen on Instagram, there are none of them that I dislike.
Yeah.
Some of them are not my style, but I still like them because they're purposeful. Mm-hmm. You know, you can tell that the person did put some thought into what they did. Now, there are a lot of BRZs and 86s that I love, that I drool over. And I'm like, ah, if I wasn't having so much fun with mine, maybe I would change mine to look more like theirs. But then again, it wouldn't be mine. It would be a copy of theirs, and that wouldn't be any fun. So,
yeah. So speaking of your livery, where did you come up with the Mach 5 Speed Racer theme?
Well,
it looks good.
I'm the age I am. I'm the age I am, and I'm probably one of your older guests, but when I was in grade school, I would come home every afternoon and I would watch that and Ultraman.
Oh, yeah.
And the Partridge Family and several other, you know,
yeah,
1970s stuff. And I have always been obsessed with, you know, sleek sports cars. I made my parents take me to a Corvette show at a Chevy dealership when I was in the sixth grade. I'm like, please, please take me. And I did. I'm in the sixth grade. I was 10. And I'm walking around. And I'm drooling over all these Corvettes because I love them. When I decided I was going to get a BRZ, I thought, oh, wait a minute. I bet that I could put livery on it and make it look like a Mach 5.
You did. And it looks good.
Yeah, thank you. I actually have had a couple of people come up to me at the gas station and want to take pictures of it.
That's awesome. Does it?
Yeah, it tickles me to no end. And it's not, younger people don't really get it. And I'm sure that if I had like Initial D stuff, you know, if I had a Red Suns or a Night Kids decal or something on it, they would be like, oh yeah, Initial D, da da da. But that's not my generation. My generation is the Speed Racer generation. And that generation of people at car meets and stuff are like, this is so cool. So, and I like being one of the cool kids.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it. It was nice seeing it in person. And I grew up watching Speed Racer too. So it, it hits home with me too. But I have to ask, are you able to launch it like the Mach 5, you know, like so you can jump over a big gap in the road or something?
Oh, I wish I could, but no, sadly, no, it doesn't have any of those, none of those mods.
Yeah. And then the little thing that he would launch out of the hood to go like look ahead for him.
The little homing bird camera drone thing.
Yeah.
And then the saw blades that came out of the front, the jump jacks. And I actually did find a place that makes wheels that look very, very similar to what were on the car in the animated series, but they're like $1,100 a piece. Oh. So no.
Yeah. You know, with drones now, you actually could technically like launch something up out of the hood and have it fly off, you know?
I could. Yeah.
That's taken a little far, though.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying it's a possibility with drones these days that you could almost replicate that.
True. But I could never do it at home because I live under restricted airspace and no drones allowed.
Sucks.
So
you have to drive somewhere else and do it.
Yeah, but I have the Marines to protect me in the air. If something ever, you know, if anything ever goes down, I'm safe here.
Well, there you go.
So
that's good. What would you say about your BRZ brings you the most joy?
Just the whole general appearance. I mean, even completely stock the day I picked her up from the dealership. I mean, she's just so beautiful and I just love looking at her.
Yeah, I would hope so. Yeah, she looks good. And what would you say about your BRZ best matches your personality?
She's unique.
Yeah.
Because I like to think of myself as unique. I'm not like anybody else. I'm just not. And I didn't really set out to be weird or odd or anything. I'm just, you know, I'm just who I am. And I'm not like anybody else. I'm just different.
Yeah. Different is good. It was fun hanging out with you. It was nice to meet you.
Thanks. It was fun hanging out with you too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it was fun getting to ride with you also. And, you know, you only have a two-seater, but you didn't have anybody else in your seat either, so that worked out well, too, because a lot of people had a passenger. And I'm glad that you had the room, because it was fun to ride in your car and get that experience.
Oh, thanks. Even though I hate driving in traffic.
Next time, you can just let me drive.
Okay. That's one area in which I need a serious driver mod, is I've just got to go somewhere and find traffic and just learn to be comfortable and you know, being close to other cars and everything. Because my commute is all two-lane roads and it's wide open and it's not trafficy. Even when there's traffic, there's no traffic. The whole county that I live in only has 32,000 people in the off season and maybe 80,000 during the summer. So it's not populated at all.
We did go through a lot of traffic though.
Yeah, we did. Honestly, I don't ever want to drive in New Jersey ever again. Driver mod or no driver mod, that was not enjoyable at all.
Well, and then not knowing where you're going also, and having to either follow somebody else or rely on the radio communications. And then, you know, there was some like last minute, wait, well, actually we need to turn here. And, you know, it's hardest driving anywhere when you don't know where you're going. And then you add in a bunch of traffic to it that can make it even more nerve wracking, but you did a good job.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And we made it through and I didn't hit anything or anybody and nobody hit me. So it's all good.
Success. Yeah.
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 Yep. 1 point for me.
Yeah. Well, if you could describe your BRZ in one word, what would it be?
I have to say beautiful, because whenever I message my son with some question or something about my car, I always call it, either I call her by her name or I'll say my tiny, beautiful car or my tiny, beautiful race car, and in all caps. And actually, really, she's really not that tiny, but beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a common theme. It seems like she is beautiful, too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. She's the prettiest car I've ever owned. I've had some good looking cars, but she's just something special.
She is. Yeah. And yeah, and thank you again for trusting me to drive it, even though it wasn't very far. But it was fun. It was just nice to get the feel of it.
I had confidence that your stuff was still at the hotel, so you would bring her back.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I wasn't going anywhere. So that was fun. So when did you... So you said something about trying to stop on the way home to buy a truck, but and then you ended up doing it all online. But when did you decide to purchase a sandbar, and where did you purchase it from? And like, what was that whole process from searching for it to ordering it to getting it?
Well, I work with this girl. Her name is Allie. Hi, Allie. She's going to listen to this. And she and I have been talking about, she wants a mini truck. And I said, you know, I think I would like to have a mini truck too. And I started researching and I thought, man, that'd be really handy, because they're small, but they're street legal. And we don't have trash pickup where I live. You have to take your trash yourself to this dumpster site and unload it. So I have been taking my trash in my beautiful tiny race car. And I thought, I just got to do something. I have a trailer that goes behind my lawn tractor, but it's really slow. And that's just not, that's not workable. So I thought, if I got a mini truck, I could drive it to work if the roads flood, because they're higher up off the ground than the BRZ. So I really started researching and I thought, well, if I'm going to buy one, I might as well buy a Subaru. Well, it turns out there's this mini truck dealer in Mount Airy, North Carolina, called Mayberry Mini Trucks. And those people are the nicest people. And they have this website. And what I did is I went online and I made a list of all the ones that I thought were suitable. And then I started narrowing down the list. This one has too many miles. This one is over my budget. This one has a dent that looks like it would require me to pay somebody to fix it. This one has got, you know, this one... One of them had a crane. Well, I don't need a crane.
You can pick up your garbage with it.
So I narrowed it down and picked one out and called them and said, what's the process? And I made a deposit. And then when the owner does a YouTube video of your particular truck, once you put a deposit, and they go around with their camera and show like the underside so you can kind of video inspect everything. And then they go out on the road and drive up and down the road so you can see that all the gears shift and it's, you know, it doesn't sound like it's going to fall apart. And then they send you all the paperwork that you sign and scan and send back, and you wire them the money. And in this case, I reserved a car hauler trailer. My husband came from West Virginia, stopped in Mount Airy and picked up the car hauler, went to the mini truck lot, picked up my truck and brought it to me. So he delivered it. They do deliver, but I was able to save a pretty good chunk of money by having my husband bring it to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it was pretty seamless. I know of people that have imported them themselves, but there's just, you just really don't know what you're going to get, because a lot of people at those Japanese auction houses don't speak English and it's hard to negotiate. And you really, what you think you're buying might not be what gets off the boat at the port, and then you're stuck, you know.
Yeah.
You might think you're buying X and you end up with Y. And I thought, no, I really need one that's already here, already in North Carolina, and already has a title. So the whole process was very seamless. And then I just went to the DMV and said, hey, here's the title. I need it changed to my name and here's money. And so now I can just drive it.
Nice. And how long was the process from the time that you started doing the research to the time that you actually had it delivered?
I started looking into them. Oh, probably, I guess I started my research probably in November of last year, and I made a decision on which one I wanted at the end of January, and it was in my yard on the 20th of February.
Nice. That's not bad.
So, and from the time I decided to purchase one particular truck until I got the video and made the wire transfer to pay for it was maybe 9 days.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, not bad. And so how was it when you first got in it and, you know, went to go drive it? What was that like? Because you're sitting on the other side, you're shifting with your left hand. I know that, like, the pedals are still on the same side. You've got the gas on the right and the clutch on the left. But so what was...
Right.
How did it... And then the gears still switch the same, correct? In the same pattern?
Yeah, the shift pattern is exactly the same. So... where fifth gear, if it was a left-hand drive, would be towards the passenger side, it's still all the way over to the right and forward. So you're just doing it with your other hand. So you just, that muscle memory, it just transfers to the other arm.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not, my husband was able to drive it around the yard like he'd been driving it all his life. It wasn't a huge, huge, enormous adjustment. It does run like it idles faster than my BRZ, which I'm not used to. And it doesn't have a tachometer. So I kind of have to like, does that sound like it's really, really whining and I need to shift gears?
Do I need to shift yet?
So that's one of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to get a tachometer so I can, because I do mainly shift by sound. And not by speed. And I have a post-it note stuck to the dash that translates kilometers per hour to miles per hour.
Oh yeah.
Because the only one I know right off the top of my head is 50 miles an hour is 80 and 55 is 88. But the rest of the speed limits between here and town, I don't have it memorized yet. So I just have a little cheat sheet.
Did you know you were going 80? No, I didn't. 80 what?
A lot of people get a replacement thing that goes behind their speedometer needle to convert it to miles per hour. But I'm just going to figure out where all the speeds are and just leave mine the same. Because I think it's neat.
And just get a Sharpie and write on there, like when you're going 35, or get like a calculations online.
Light out or something.
Yeah. There, 35, 45, 50. Sounds like it's fun.
It is fun. It's super fun. So now even taking the trash out is fun. Because I've taken the trash out, I've gone to the dollar store, drove it to work Sunday. Driving home was a little adventure because I don't have new LED headlight bulbs yet, and the OEM headlights are these dim little yellow.
Oh, yeah. Not good.
And I'm like, I can't hardly see because my low beams on my BRZ are better than the high beams in the sandbar.
Oh, dear. Yeah, so those that would be important. Either that or just try not to drive at night for a while until you get the new headlights.
Yeah, I'm stalking the website, and they're still out of stock and back-ordered. So, but the instant that they're available, I'm going to say purchase now.
Yeah.
Send me these. And that one, I have all of the stuff that gets done to the BRZ. I have a shop do it. But the sandbar, I'm going to attempt to do all of the work on it myself. Hopefully that one will never have to go to the shop. If it's something that requires a inside, I can just, you know, tote whatever part it is in the shed, or I have a camper that I don't live in anymore, and that's going to be my paint booth.
Oh, nice. Yeah. When you can do stuff yourself, it's just, I think it's more satisfying because then you can look over at it and go, hey, that looks really good. And I did that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right now the headache rack to my sandbar is in my living room.
The headache rack?
Because it is in the process of being refinished. And, of course, I have parts of it sanded down to bare metal, so it can't be outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it just lives in my living room until I get it finished, and I've got to actually go to the parts store and get primer and then decide exactly what color I'm going to paint it, because the color scheme is still up in the air. I can't make up my mind. But
it may come to you
because, you know, I want to do something that's Subaru-ish, but I don't know. World Rally Blue and Subaru Yellow. I like it, but I'm not in love with it. So I don't know.
And maybe not for a sandbar. So do you have, well, what year is it, first of all?
It's a 1994.
Okay.
And it's 30 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. So do you have any plans for mods other than, I mean, you just talked about putting the roof rack on and then you're going to change out the lights. But are you going to do anything else with it, or do you even, like, know what you can do with it?
I do want to get bigger wheels because the Subaru K trucks don't take very well to being lifted because they have independent rear suspension and they don't like to change their geometry. So if I just, the OEM wheels are 12s. So if I go to 13s, I'll have another almost an inch of ground clearance and I can get a slightly more meaty tire. And I think it'll ride a little bit better too, because the suspension is extremely harsh. That probably, I don't know. Funny, I was just talking. Well, not talking. We were messaging in the family group chat this morning, and I said something about thinking about putting ditch lights on the ears on the headache rack for fog lights. But there is a place in the bumper that you can cut out for fog lights. So I'm going to do some kind of fog lights at some point and probably get some kind of a dock box or fisherman's toolbox or something to put in the bed to carry stuff in, and a hitch. I don't know. And then just pretty everything up and just make sure it's as mechanically sound as possible.
Yeah, that's good.
I did at one point have a car that was carbureted and I worked on it myself. So I'm sure I'll remember how once I get into it.
Yeah.
And there's always the University of YouTube.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Do you follow Brian Libke?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. Cause he's got one that he's done some stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah. Sushi.
Yes. Yeah. Do you have a name for yours?
I do. Her name is Obachan.
Oh yeah. What does that mean?
It means grandmother.
Oh, okay. Nice. That's a good name though.
My BRZ and the sandbar were built in the same complex of factories, different buildings, and 30 years apart. But I figure that the sandbar is kind of like the grandmother to my BRZ. Sort of.
I could see that. That's good. I know that we recorded some while we were out on the road about 48 hours of Tri-State, but like, how did you end up finding out about it?
I've probably known about it for years because I have a family member who's on the staff. But 2 years ago, my youngest son and his fiance went, and I forget why. Well, I didn't have a Subaru at that time, so I didn't go. Then I thought, oh, when I have a BRZ, I will go. And then I had only had it for like 3 weeks, and I thought, mm. So I rode with my youngest son in 23 and then decided, yeah, I think this is doable. I think I could probably bring a BRZ on this trip if I had snow tires. But I do plan to go for as many years as they'll have me. I'm not the best fundraiser in the world, but it is nice because now I know people and I can say, hey, I remember seeing you from a couple years ago or whatever. And, you know, we always do fun stuff. And, you know, I mean, Vermont sports car, that's a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah, I know. They were trying to get me to come out to that one. I just couldn't make it happen. But, you know, I'm not unhappy that I went to SIA because that was a really cool experience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I am thrilled to have been able to do that, too, because my middle son that has the other BRZ, they also, well, he had a Crosstrek before, and now he and his fiance have an Outback. And it's nice to see, you know, I mean, I know people that have cars that were built at that factory. So in their Subarus, it's all family.
Yeah. No, it's, it was such a fun experience. And the complex is huge. Just seeing all of the infrastructure that goes on in there was really, really cool. All the conveyor belts and the different parts and the robots doing the welding. I mean, just the whole thing was really nice. And for anybody listening to this episode now, if you have a chance to go to SIA, I highly recommend it.
Yes, I second that.
Yes, thank you. If they'll have you back, you'll be back.
Yep.
That's good. Well, here's a little segment that is the get to know the person behind the account. But who is Missy?
Ah, well, the whole time we've been talking, I thought, should I tell exactly how old I am? I'm 60. I have 10 grandchildren, and I hope, you know, I'm finally the person I am, and I'm very proud to be the person I am, and I'm not some old lady. I'm a fun girl. I live in coastal North Carolina, where we have hurricanes and mosquitoes that are so large they have to file flight plans.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, but it's just, it's beautiful.
I've seen some of your photos. It looks nice.
It's so pretty here. I am a professional cook. I have been a professional cook since I was 19 years old.
Wow.
I'm an Army veteran. What else? I used to be a competitive Irish step dancer.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I've done some
that
things.
That sounds fun.
It was a lot of fun. My kids still like, can you? And I'm like, no, not anymore, because I stand up all day at work and I'm not dancing anymore. But I dance in my head. I don't know. I'm just interesting.
Well, it was fun hanging out with you, like I said. I mean, you definitely, you don't act 60, you know, I mean, I think a lot of us are definitely acting and, you know, playing out a much younger age just because we like to have fun and be goofy and silly. And it's always good to be a kid at heart. And seems like is the older you get, the less you care about what other people think too, you know, and just like live your life and have fun and enjoy it and enjoy spending time with other people and with family and just do what you enjoy and do what you want to do.
Oh, for sure. I work with these young boys who are, I call my work sons, and they all tell me that I am the most 17-year-old, 60-year-old woman they know.
Well, I'm sure that's fun for them too, then, because they're not like, you know, feeling like they're just working with somebody that's not going to be relating to them or something. So obviously they see something in you that they can relate to.
Yeah. Yeah. And half of them call me mom, and it's just, it's really nice because I've worked places where the people I worked with, we didn't have a connection at all. And the people that I work with now, we are truly, it's a cliche to say that, you know, your work crew is like your family, but we really are like a family. And we joke around and everything, but we still get the job done. And I think we do okay, but I do like where I work.
That's good. That's really important too. And yeah, it's because a lot of times people don't like where they work, and you know, you get kind of stuck in a job and feel like you don't have any other options or anything else you can do. So if you can enjoy your job, that's really good. And it helps with your quality of life for sure.
Yep. Piece of advice. It's easier to find a job if you have a job. So if you don't like your job, look for another job while you still have the job you don't like.
Yes, very true. Because you can still be making money while you're looking for another job.
Right, exactly.
Yep. So what is a favorite memory from your childhood? Besides the Corvette show.
Besides the Corvette show. From my little young childhood, I would have to say watching motorsports on TV, IndyCar and F1. When I was growing up, I lived in Indianapolis, and you know, all the IndyCar drivers and the F1 drivers, Jackie Stewart. Oh, I just thought Jackie Stewart hung the moon. I thought he was so wonderful. And and Mario Andretti, I idolized Mario Andretti. I thought he was, you know, because he drove IndyCar and he drove F1. And in 2016, I actually got to meet him and got his autograph.
Oh, nice.
Which was thrilling. And there's video of it somewhere. But my husband and I went to the Indy 500 for the 100th race. And we were walking through the garage area. And here comes Mario Andretti on a golf cart. And I elbowed my husband. I said, bail this. And I go running across with my, I always, when I go to something that I'm, there might be autographs, I carry a white t-shirt and a Sharpie, and I go running across with the shirt and the Sharpie.
Will you sign this for me?
Excuse me, Mr. Andretti, because I would never presume to call him Mario. And I have a t-shirt that's covered in autographs of IndyCar drivers.
Oh, nice. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So were you?
Yeah, there's some awesome people.
Were you born in Indianapolis?
I wasn't. I was born in Terre Haute. And then when I was about, I think, 8 months old, my parents moved to Indianapolis, and we lived there until I was 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But I did not get to go see the Indy 500 in person until 2010.
Hey, but you did go see it. That's the important part.
But I have been. I've been 4 times.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, we know what you do for a living. Would you say that that is your dream job?
It is. I'm very lucky that I picked a job in the military that easily translated into something I could do in the civilian world. And I don't really want to do anything else. I can do other things, and I have had other jobs, but I keep coming back to kitchens, and just what I do.
That's good. That's important too. Besides getting out in your BRZ and now your sandbar, what other hobbies do you have?
I like to go saltwater fishing. I have a kayak and I piddle around in the bay behind my house on that. And I go gather mussels and stuff like that. I knit. I like to go bird watching, waterfowl hunting, deer hunting, turkey hunting, anything that involves being outside and enjoying nature. If I had a Crosstrek or an Outback, that thing would have like a 5-inch lift on it.
Well, it sounds like that's what you need to get next.
Maybe. I already had to think really, really hard to be able to justify the sandbar, and I'm not sure I could justify yet another Subaru.
Yeah. You could just go take a ride with somebody, probably, you know, let them take you out.
Yep. I need to hook up with, who's the guy? There was a guy that lives around Charlotte, and he was on. And see, I have listened now to all but I think 2 episodes, and I don't remember the number of this guy, but he's lives somewhere near Charlotte, and he goes with a bunch of people in the Uwari National Forest or National Park or state, whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I've had too many people to remember.
That's not unreachably far away, because Tell the Dragon is like 10 hours, because North Carolina is a very wide state from east to west. Yeah. And I am clear as far east as you can get without being in the Atlantic Ocean, just about.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And Tell the Dragon is clear as far as west as you can be without being in Tennessee. And actually, the end of Tale of the Dragon is in Tennessee. So
is that something you think you might want to try to do with your BRZ?
Oh, definitely. That, and there's a road in Virginia that I know exactly where that one is. It's called Back of the Dragon. And it is doesn't have as many curves, but it's longer. It's like 31 miles. And it's right off the interstate on the way from where I live to where my husband lives. So that's very doable.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be fun. There's some roads out here on the way to Austin that are pretty curvy and a lot of fun to drive. And I want to go back and do that.
I'm just imagining curves in Texas.
Yeah, there are curves.
I've been to Texas, but the only part of Texas I saw was the flat part. Amarillo, Wichita Falls, Dallas. Yeah.
You making fun of my state being flat? We do too.
No.
Yeah. It's, I tell people, yeah, we have hills. They're called overpasses. Out west, though, like out in Austin, it gets hilly out there. So it's nice and fun.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, see, that's a part of Texas that I've never been to.
Yeah.
We have hills too. They're called high level bridges. That's what they're doing to replace all the drawbridges. They're taking the drawbridges out and they're making these bridges with hills in them. So the tall boats can get under.
Yeah. Without having to stop traffic.
Right. Right.
So what is something that makes you want to get out of bed every day?
Seeing the sunrise. Cause I can sit on my couch and I can look out my patio door and I can see the sun come up every morning.
It's just,
it's the same, but it's different every day. Depends on, if there's a forest fire or a controlled burn or if there's clouds or no clouds or if there's a storm coming or a storm over there. You know, it's different every morning. And I never get tired of watching the sun come up.
Yeah, I haven't done that in a long time. I mean, like, I've been awake when the sun comes up, but I haven't actually watched it in a really long time. And I haven't watched the sunset in a while either.
Yeah, I can't really see the sunset from my yard very well. I actually have to either walk across the road to the other boat dock or drive down to the ferry landing. And most of the time it's dinner time and I'm like, meh, I'll just go another time.
Yeah, sunrise is good enough.
Yeah, yeah.
What is something that makes you want to stay in bed?
If my floors are cold.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of if it's cold answers. I don't want to get up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just anymore. That's my feet are really about the only part of me that's old. I just don't want my feet to be cold. I like to have warm feet.
Well, then wear slippers.
I do have nice fancy. Well, I do have slippers, but in order to here's the thing. I live in an RV and they're very space premium. So I don't get up out of the side of the bed like most people. I have to crawl off the end.
Oh, yeah.
And then I have to figure out, where did I put my slippers when I took them off when I got into bed, and find them and then put them on. And if I left them too far from the heat, then they're cold on the inside. So then I'm upset about that. And sometimes I have been known to actually put a pair of socks on the bedside table and put those on before I get up. So then I don't have, my feet aren't too cold.
What would be your best bit of advice to give to someone about anything?
Do the thing. Do the thing. Buy the car. Take the class. Try the hobby. Take the pictures. Just do the thing. Don't worry about whatever people think. You only have one life. Do it. Live it. And then write the thing down. Keep a journal. You know, I did this and it was fun, or I did this and I hated it and I'm never going to do it again. I went to play bingo, and I hate bingo. So then the next time I'm going to go and try this pottery class or whatever. Just do the things. Don't let everybody else do the things. You do the things.
Yeah, find the things that you are interesting to you. And even, yeah, I mean, that was a good point. You said you went to go play bingo and you hated it. I mean, sometimes you just have to try to find something and do it, because you might find something that you, like, that would suck. I don't want to do that again. But then you might find something where you're like, oh, wow, I really, really enjoy this. And I didn't know or didn't think that I would enjoy it. And
yeah,
because you
yeah.
never know. That's really good advice. I like that. So what would you say about owning your Subarus and being part of the Subaru community has changed your life? Or how has it?
I have never met so many wonderful people, and I say met, connected with on Instagram and Threads and SubiX. It truly is like we're all this one great big family. We're all, you know, these cousins or whatever. And you can just message them and say, hey, you know, I listened to your podcast episode and I really thought you're an interesting person. And I love that you did X to your vehicle, because I think that's a cool thing to do or whatever. And you're partly responsible for all of this, because I started listening to the episodes and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and listen to them all. And it doesn't matter to me at all that your main focus has been on like overland and all-wheel drive and outdoor adventure. I don't care. They're Subarus. Don't matter to me. I want to hear about your Forester. I want to hear about your Outback. I think cross treks are beautiful.
Thank you.
I get super excited whenever I see another Subaru. And if the weather's nice, I roll down the window and I'm waving and giving them the Subi wave. And none of them ever wave back at me. I get winks from Miatas all the time when I wave. They don't get a Subi wave, but they do get a wave. But it just amazes me that we're all so very different, but we're all so much the same in that we, all of us together, embody that Subaru love promise. You know, we're all doing something to help the environment, or doing something with animals, or, you know, our communities. It's just amazing. And you're such an enabler.
Well, and a lot of us are just a bunch of goofballs too, having fun with our cars. And I think that's...
Well, yeah. Yeah, there is the fun factor too, but... And see, Phil is partly responsible for that with his MaxTrax Micro Crew nonsense.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's a really big way that a lot of us can connect too, is because, like, I think there's, and I've said it many times, is like there's a certain, it's almost like there's a certain personality that comes with people that are really excited and enthusiast about, you know, the Subaru in the first place, and then finding out about the community, because you find, because you might be introverted and shy, you know, or something, and you connect with these other people and discover, oh, well, they're a lot like me, and now I don't feel so alone, or I feel comfortable in a place where I can be myself and not, you know, feel like I'm going to be judged for whatever. And I think it's just, I think it's really helped a lot of people open up, not just, you know, to other people that own Subarus, but open up in other areas and aspects of their lives as well.
Oh, yes, definitely. Because 5 years ago, there would not have been enough money in the world to pay me to walk up to somebody that had a podcast and say, hey, do you know who I am? The way I did you at Subaru headquarters.
Yeah.
January. Nobody there. I would have died before I would have done anything like that. And I was like, ooh, I hope he's there. And I'm just going to introduce myself. Really, I know that a lot of people that you have on say this, but it's just amazing that you work so hard. And you have, I mean, this is a wonderful thing that you're doing, because I now have two friends who are seriously, I mean, like going to dealerships and looking at Subarus, seriously considering buying a Subaru because they have listened to a couple of episodes of your podcast, and they've talked to me and listened to me wax eloquent about how wonderful my BRZ is and the Subaru community as a whole. So, you know, you're helping it grow.
Yeah. I've had some people say that, like, well, I was on the fence about buying a Crosstrek, and then I listened to some of your episodes and now I'm going to buy one. So I'm glad that it's helped, you know, people make the decision to buy a Subaru. And, but yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that.
You're quite welcome.
Do you think you will always own a Subaru? I'm guessing I know that answer, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Somebody asked me about a week or so ago, what would you do if something happened to your BRZ, like your motor blew up or you hit a deer or whatever? I said I would just call the dealership the next day and order another one.
Yeah, give me another one, please.
Yep. We're just, you know, I'm stuck now. And now that I have the sandbar, I don't have a reason, you know, unless they said, oh, well, you're going to have to wait like 2 years for another BRZ. Then I would say, let me just
get that Crosstrek now.
How I can get the, yeah, I'll get a Crosstrek and I'll mod that and lift it and put fancy, some kind of wacko livery on it or whatever.
Yeah. Have fun with it.
Then I can finally buy all those things that I've heard all your guests talk about, you know, all your brand episodes.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, that's
Whaley Design Firm does make a battery box that will go in my BRZ, but, you know, like Spider No Drill Roof Rack, you know, no chance I'm ever going to have one of those. But I can tell other people about it.
Exactly.
And you know, all those kind of things. I now know about these things to suggest to people, I need to get XYZ. Oh, well, you should consider, you know, primitive racing skid plates because blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, I'm just trying to do my part.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. It's been fun. It's been a nice journey. And again, it's nice to be able to connect with a bunch of different people and help them share their journey and their love of their car in this community.
Yeah, and I'm thrilled that I get to be one of those people.
Yes, here you are. Definitely. So, but yeah, thank you for taking the time to record. I'm glad we were able to make this happen.
And I can't wait to share it with everybody I know and say, hey, I'm going to be kind of famous. I'm going to be on this podcast. But I am actually, you just don't know how thrilled I am to be the first BRZ owner to be featured on your podcast. And I hope that there will be more. You know, I know there are a lot of all-wheel drive Subaru owners that say that BRZs aren't real Subarus because we're not all-wheel drive. But believe me, this Subaru owner is, I mean, my BRZ is a Subaru.
It is. It is a Subaru. It's not an FRS. It is a BRZ.
And it's not an 8.6.
Well, thank you for taking the time to do this.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. It was great to talk to you, and we'll definitely keep in touch. And it was great to meet you.
All right.
Because I can add you to...
It was wonderful to meet you, too.
Yeah, and I can add you to the list of people that I've met in person that I had on the podcast, which that number is growing,
yeah.
And it's really cool.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, thanks again, and I hope you have a good night, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Sue Being You podcast. Again, if you're not doing so, go give Missy a follow. Her Instagram handle is the_spoonagain. Also, if you have not listened to episode 160, which was my first portion of the 48 Hours of Tri-State, you can hear where I am riding in the car with her, as I mentioned in this episode. So she was the first person that I recorded with on my 48 Hours of Tri-State journey. So go check that out if you haven't. And of course, thank you, Missy, for taking the time to be on the podcast. It was great to have you on again, but for your own episode. I know you were excited about it, and it was nice to have you on. And again, of course, I can add you to the list of people that I've had on the podcast that I've actually met in person. So I'll have to tally that up at some point again, but I think it's getting close to 60 now, which is pretty good. So hope you all have a great week. And of course, we will see you for another episode next Monday. Much Subi love, Raph.
The Sue Being You podcast is hosted by Raphael in a closet in Houston, produced by Raphael in a room next to the closet in Houston, and edited by Raphael on a computer in the room next to the closet in Houston, with music by Luke Ruiz in another room in Houston. You can find the Sue Being You podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many more. To support the podcast, please head over to patreon.com/SueBeingYouPodcast. Once you join, you will have access to the Discord channel and Discord chats with other patrons. If you'd like to get in contact with the show, you can find them on Instagram at SueBeingYouPodcast, online at SueBeingYouPodcast.com, or by email, SueBeingYouPodcast@gmail.com. That's all for this week. Tune in Mondays for new episodes.